So that's the sutta where those six recollections originate, mentioned. Yeah, and just to emphasize again that that's a really, if the mind is not settling on its object easily, and we're looking to particularly to gladden the mind or to settle the mind, then any of these three recollections fully developed and considered are very useful for that purpose. And I think just in my own experience, you have to be a bit creative too. Sometimes just reciting the phrases, like for the Buddha Dhamma Sangha, you have to be careful not to just get caught in rote recitation, but really be inventive with it and really put your mind to it, and to really allow yourself to explore, say, the amazing qualities of the Buddha. You know, what it really was that he accomplished and how he did it, some of the aspects of his life story and his going forth and the different obstacles he met up with and how he overcame them. And really, just the awesomeness of the fact that he had, you know, his realization and then lived for many years teaching the Dhamma and sharing it in such a skillful way. So really being creative with ways to recollect these reflections, and the same with the Dhamma, not just thinking of certain aspects of the Dhamma, but also really looking at, again, the awesomeness of it, really, just, you know, how it is still intact and alive 2,500 years later. You know, there's not many teachings that were so well expounded and taught and have been practiced for so long that, to the best of our knowledge, remain pretty clearly intact and transmitted and practiced by many, many generations of people who have really used it for good benefit. Same with the Sangha, the fact that even here and now there's a thread that goes back all the way to the time of the Buddha, of at least in a monastic Sangha as well as the lay, as well as the lay assembly. But that there's still, the best as we can tell, pockets of practitioners who follow the precepts, who follow the rules of the Padimokkha very, very closely as to how they were practiced more than 2,500 years ago. And to just recollect and reflect how so much good has come from that over the generations. So really practicing with these and using them to inspire a sense of gladness, a sense of peacefulness in the mind, a sense of joy. Same with recalling our own virtues and generosity. Sometimes we forget that we can really actually bring those up for reflection. It's not just doing them and practicing virtue and generosity, but actually making that part of your contemplation, you know, reviewing what happened this day or this week that was virtuous, how it was that generosity has been part of your life, and to really bring it to mind and feel good about that. The one about recollecting the deities isn't one that you hear a whole lot of people talk about doing, but I've done it in bits and pieces, and sometimes it's a little bit hard to visualize or bring to mind something that I've never personally seen, except for maybe when I was a kid and seen all sorts of things. I'm not sure. But recollecting those qualities that get one born into the Deva realm, and learning that, or remembering that we too have those qualities. And sometimes I think of some of the people I've met in this world who are so well established in generosity and virtuous kindness, good practitioners, many of the lay supporters that I've met, particularly when I was in Thailand, it seemed like we were almost floating in a deva world at times, as well as here, and that really, you know, many of the people who were around us here at this monastery, who come and stay and visit and live here, are really devas and deities in their own rights. So just remembering that, and seeing how that affects the mind.